Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello. The Human Rights Watch Film Festival is running in London this month. Among the most timely films in the lineup is The Green Wave, a documentary about the popular protests that swept Iran in 2009.
What we saw was really not a wave of protest, but a tidal wave.
The film conjures up parallels with the more recent uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa. A human rights activist featured in the film describes the scene in the streets of Iran during the protests.
Millions of people coming out in the streets, joining for a common cause that was in its core about nonviolence.
The Green Wave features personal accounts from those who took to the streets to contest the re-election of President Ahmadinejad. The film director uses the protesters' tweets, their Facebook entries, and their blogs to piece together a narrative of ordinary citizens. Initially, we hear them expressing their joy and excitement as they set out to challenge their regime, and later, their outrage and shock as their movement is violently crushed. I spoke to the German-Iranian director of the Green Wave, Ali Samadi Ahadi. He says for years, technology and social media have been transforming the ability of those living in repressive regimes to access news and information. But Ahadi says recently, they have begun to use technology for a different purpose.
After 2009, something happened which was very new. For the first time, people in Iran, and I think it was the beginning also for other countries, understood that they are not only able to get information, but they were also able to create or produce information and share it with the whole world. And that broke down the monopoly of the dictators, and this brought a very new challenge for them. And I think what we are seeing at the moment, the journalism of people, where no other journalism is possible in the societies. And this helps very much the issue of human rights.
I want to talk just briefly about these cell phone videos that you obtained and used in your film. What was so compelling about those to you as a filmmaker?
You know, you never can organize your filming that you are there when things happen. But because millions of Iranians use their cell phones to document the situations every second, we had so many eyes in the whole country which covered nearly every event. And this gave not only for me, but also for the rest of the world, the possibility to be very close to that event. And we had to find another way to tell the whole story in 80 minutes. And for that, I used blogs.
Yes. Well, I want to talk to you, Ali, about these blogs that you used. They are just beautifully written, and there is an immediacy about them. And let's listen to one of those clips now. You have a woman blogger describing her excitement as she sees so many people taking to the streets wearing the color green, which is obviously the symbol of those who are supporting the opposition candidate.
I love these green colors, all these green scarves and armbands on the streets. They symbolize community, unity. They symbolize that the people do care. They want to vote and show what they think about a result based on lies and deception. This color is a symbol to show that they are there. And when we see someone else wearing this symbol, that makes us more determined to move forward and smile. That's what makes the difference in a movement. It means change. It means hope.
Now, hearing this now in light of the state violence that ultimately was used against the demonstrators in Iran, and more recently we're hearing about that same kind of violence in Libya, do you think there are limits to the power of nonviolent resistance against a well-armed and hostile state?
Well, I think it is really difficult for the people to keep nonviolent when they face such a brutal government and regime. But I think strongness of this nonviolent movement was that by keeping nonviolent, the regime supporters understood that they are doing a big, big mistake. And they became weaker because they started to fight within the system against that brutality. And it helped so much for the movement to grow and to become bigger and to cover more people.
Mm. Ali, I want to talk to you about the animation that you used in your film. Your film is interspersed with these beautiful animated sequences. And tell me a little bit about why you decided to use animation in your film.
As I said, the blocks were a very important part of the film, and to find a way to keep their strongness. For that, I decided to produce images which are abstract enough to give the words more space to get direct link to the audience.
I want to go and play a clip of one of these animated sequences now by one of these bloggers who's just been released from prison.
The gate opens, and mothers and fathers stretch their hands out to hold up photos of their missing loved ones. Have you seen this man? Have you seen my daughter here? You walk through the crowd and realize that you haven't been released. You have merely left a small prison to enter a much bigger one. A prison called Iran.
Given the events that have been sweeping through so many other countries, Ali, how confident are you that the will of the Iranian people will soon be realized?
I'm not sure about the time, but I'm sure that the reasons why people went to the election and after that went to the streets were very clear. It was lack of employment, a lack of future options for youth, a lack of freedom of speech, lack of fundamental human rights. And this was 2 years ago, or nearly 2 years ago. And today you can ask yourself, is something has changed? And the answer will be very clear, no. Nothing has changed in a better way, but everything became worse. I don't think that just because of the brutality, the needs will go or disappear. The wish of change will stay, and I think there will be a moment where the government needs the society and the people in Iran, and then they have to hear what they want and what their wish is, and sometimes that moment comes much sooner than the government believe. We saw it in Tunisia, we saw it in Egypt, and I think we will see it also in Libya and in Iran.
Mm. I see you as kind of a curator in this film. You are taking the individual stories, the individual footage shot, the individual blogs written, and you have collated them to tell a beautiful, collective, powerful story about what individuals coming together can do in a place like Iran, despite the enormous repression that they face every day, despite the imprisonment and brutality that they talk about in your film. And I'm so curious to hear how Iranians themselves have responded to your work, to the Green Wave, when they've seen it. What have they told you?
I mean, till now, the Iranians which saw the film are living out of the country. I'm very curious about the feedbacks when this film one day reaches Iran and will be shared in the black market there.
Because it is available online now, one can go. Can Iranians inside Iran not see it online?
At the moment, not. Most of the online channels are filtered by the Iranian government, but Iranians are very quick in copying and sharing films within the society, and nearly every censored film is in the black market available. So I think I am one of the rare filmmakers which would really be happy when his film would be copied and shared within the Iranian society.
Absolutely. Ali Samadi Hadi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Ali Samadi Ahadi is director of The Green Wave, which will be shown at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival in London. And that's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about Human Rights Watch, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. and we want to hear your feedback. You can get in touch at podcast@hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.